Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Let's take a look right away at the first reading for today from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verses 11 to 15. We set sail from Troas, making a straight run for Nemathris, and on the next day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a leading city in that district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We spent some time in that city. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate along the river where we thought there would be a place of prayer. We sat and spoke with the women who had gathered there. One of them, a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, a worshiper of God, listened. So she's a woman that has some authority. She has a business. And she listened to what Paul had to say. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul was saying. The Lord opened her heart. She may have been distracted about many things. Paul was a bit of a curiosity, so she came to hear what he had to say, or at least he appeared where they were, and she listened. She actually listened. That's quite a gift, especially these days. You know, we can be present at something, but not really listening. Our mind is elsewhere. We get very distracted, so we don't really hear what is being said. It's more like background noise because our minds are somewhere else. It's very important, brothers and sisters, when we're listening to the Word of God, when we're listening to the teaching of the church. It's important in our business world too, but for different reasons. But it's important to really hear, to put your full attention to what is being said. When it involves the Word of God, you need to listen. So don't just say, oh yeah, I was at Mass today. But your mind was 10,000 miles away during the readings and during the homily. Brothers and sisters, we need to discipline our minds. Ask the Holy Spirit for that grace to help me to discipline, to recognize my distractions, to stop and to turn my attention back to what the Lord wants to be saying to our hearts right then. This is the living Word of God. This is not a commercial on TV or something on Facebook. This is real, brothers and sisters. This is the living God speaking to your heart through His Word. Listen. Be attentive. So Lydia listens. And look what the next verse says. After she and her household had been baptized. My goodness, they heard Paul and they asked for baptism right away. She really listened. And she offered us an invitation. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my home. And she prevailed on us. So here we have a woman who's heard the word, become a believer, just been baptized, and immediately she's reaching out. You have done, in essence, you've done me a great favor. Let me at least provide for your human needs. Ponder that. That should be the fruit of hearing the word of God. Love for others, greater love for God and love for others. And Psalm 149 tells us the Lord takes delight in his people. Sing to the Lord a new song of praise in the assembly of the people. Think, brothers and sisters. Sing to the Lord a new song of praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in their Maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King. You know, we all have favorite songs. We all have favorite psalms as well that we love or that we repeat or perhaps we've even memorized. And there are certain songs when we sing them, we love it. Oh, I love this song. And we sing it more vigorously, and we get into it, so to speak, more. Well, brothers and sisters, the Psalms of Scripture, are the means by which we're called to sing to the Lord and sing to him a new song with your heart, with your love. Let them praise his name in the festive dance. Let them sing praise to him with timbrel and harp, for the Lord loves his people, and he adorns the lowly with victory. That's the humble, the poor, the weak. He adorns them with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their throats. This is the glory of all his faithful. Even at Mass, brothers and sisters, you can tell when people like certain songs because they sing them louder. They sing them with more gusto. They're more enthusiastic. And yet every hymn, brothers and sisters, every hymn, even if it's not a melody you like, but every hymn is intended to glorify God and praise him. Keep that in mind when you're singing. Whether you like the melody or not, or whether you like the words or not, they are a praise to God. Enter in. Lord, I give you worship. Sometimes my human nature likes it more than other times, but if this is for you, Lord, I want to enter into it with my whole heart and sing to you with my whole heart. Give him, as Scripture says, the praise that is his due, the praise that he deserves. And the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26, through chapter 16, verse 4. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the advocate comes," that's your defense attorney. That's what an advocate is, a defense attorney. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me, and you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away." So here is Jesus telling them, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll equip you. He'll help you. And I have told you this so that you may not fall away, because they're about to see their Lord and Savior crucified. A death to every dream, to every hope that they had had, that he was the Messiah. It was death for them. And they're burdened, and it was very, very difficult. And that's why Jesus is saying to them now, before they experience the passion, he's saying to them, "When the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning." You become a witness of my presence, of my care, of my saving grace. "And I will send you the advocate so you may be equipped. I've told you this so that you may not fall away," because hardship is immediately ahead. "They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me." They have not really known me. They have their own idea of God. They don't know me. Ponder that. Do you know him? Do you walk with him? Do you share life with him? "I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you." He's trying to give them, but they don't quite get it. And none of us do. People say, you know, "I think such and such is about to occur." And you're going, "Oh yeah, ho-hum, well, we'll see." And then it does occur, and you missed everything that the person told you you should pay attention to. And that's what's happened here. This is why, brothers and sisters, it is so important to pray for an increase of faith. It's so important, because I'm not talking about knowing the dogmas, though that's very, very important. I'm talking about living faith, where the dogma is alive in your heart because it is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity who dwells in us, who desires to teach us. But if we don't seek him, if we don't listen, if we don't spend time with him, how are we going to learn? Because what lies ahead for us, we do not know. It could be smooth sailing, and then it could be very, very difficult times. Therefore, it's so important to take advantage of everything that God makes available to us. Everything. And in these readings, he wants you to know, yes, I am the Messiah, I am the Savior, I am the one, the longed-for one, the promised one for thousands of years. Again and again, he has to reinforce it because it's, as I've often said to you, it's so, he is so different than what they pictured in their minds as they listened to the prophets in the Old Testament. Because nobody knew that he was going to look so ordinary and be the Messiah. And so their faith has been challenged. Their faith has been tested. And it's going to be tested more because John is telling them that great difficulty is ahead. He's quoting Jesus and he's saying great difficulty is ahead. They'll try to kill you, but put your faith in me. Put your trust in me. And he says, do this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you. How many times, brothers and sisters, in the gospel, in this case, the gospel of John, but how many times in the gospels does Jesus warn us about things or tell us to pay attention to things? Or to heed certain things? Do we listen? Because God is always trying to equip us for what he alone knows is coming in our lives. And it could be marvelous things. Doesn't have to be all very, very difficult things, but life offers us both. And God wants us equipped through his Holy Spirit, through the teaching of the church, through the power of his word, the sacraments. He wants to teach us. He wants to equip us so that we can be true disciples in a time of great joy or in a time of great suffering. Jesus seeks to draw closer to us. And in this week, we're going to celebrate his ascension into heaven. We're going to celebrate soon after that the great feast of Pentecost. In all those days of God's power being revealed and shown and his love and his wisdom being shown, he was preparing them to live life fully as a disciple of Jesus Christ. No hedging, no compromise, but living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he's offering himself in every way so that we might be equipped. May God speak to your heart. May God open your heart. May you receive all that God has for you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.